So he used black magic. And the magicians on the other side were Churchill, FDR, some of the German people that rebelled against Hitler. But these people worked with the spirit of freedom. Now, the spirit of freedom is the spirit that makes white magic powerful. And people misunderstand what freedom is, and freedom is another very important principle that people misunderstand. What was interesting between the war between the states was that the South claimed to be fighting for freedom. Even though they were enslaving a whole race of people, they claimed to be fighting for freedom. And Abraham Lincoln made the unusual observation. He says, these people have a really odd idea of what freedom is. He says, I don't look on freedom the same way that these people do. Now, the same thing with the Roman Empire. When they had their slaves, they touted all the time how great it was for a Roman citizen to be free. And they said the reason they could be so free was because of slavery, just like the people in the South did. They could be free because they said slavery was necessary, and we're doing these slaves a favor because they're not brave, all souls, they don't know what's going on, and so they need somebody to control them anyway, so it's a win-win situation. That's the way they looked at slavery. It's win-win. I'm helping the slave out, and he's helping me out, and he's helping me become freer, and he doesn't need to be free. So, but what they overlook is the fact that every human being needs to be free, needs to have what I call maximum freedom. Total freedom is an impossibility because, let's say, next-door neighbor Jim wants to break into your house and steal your big-screen TV. Should he be allowed that freedom to do that and then go and have no punishment whatsoever? No. So there's certain laws that have to be established that we have to obey to obtain what I call maximum freedom. Maximum freedom is the key, because total freedom for people that have no self-discipline is a disaster. So you need maximum freedom. And maximum freedom would prevent people from breaking in your house and stealing your TV or your computer or whatever. It would prevent your wife from being raped. It would prevent you from being killed by somebody that doesn't like you or beat up or whatever. So under the law, all these laws restrict primitive impulses that some call freedom, but produce maximum freedom. So even though I'm a libertarian at heart, I support laws that ensure maximum freedom, because maximum freedom is what we always have to go after. And in the case of having slaves, you don't have maximum freedom. You have a certain group that are okay because they can do what they want. Controlling another group, they can't do anything that they want. So the maximum freedom for the whole, not a maximum freedom for just one set of people, but a maximum freedom for the whole. Okay, any more comments or questions? Got about 5 more minutes.
Please, what do you think about the surveillance? So much checking up on all of us.
Yeah. It would be fine if they were just checking for the bad terrorists, but the trouble is if you get some leader that decides he wants to be Big Brother, and we might have that already, is that it can be extremely misused. See, they have power to examine every email, every conversation. And the technology is going to get even more profound by using different pieces of equipment in your house. They will be able to, even if they want to keep track of you, they'll even be able to hear everything you're saying to your spouse, all your lovemaking, whatever you do. They could record everything if they wanted, which is a little unnerving. So what the people have to do is the people that, and this is one of the things in my book, Fixing America, is how the people, through participatory government by majority will can take back control so the people can be put in charge. Because only ones that can be trusted with this type of power is the people themselves. Our leaders can't be trusted with it. So it'll just get more and more intrusive as time goes on. And, you know, just imagine what we can do now with our surveillance. Imagine what it would be like in 50 years. Every word that you speak could be recorded by somebody. Matter of fact, they're even developing machines that can read your thoughts. So in another 100 years, maybe every thought you think will be recorded by the government. So if you're even thinking you don't like the president, they could do something to you, you know, if you had a dictator in charge. Yeah, the leader of North Korea would really like that technology to be able to read people's thoughts. That way he could eliminate, you know, everybody that is a danger to him. And just keep around the true followers. You know. Okay, anything else?
Now, couldn't that also be a positive? Because it seems like the scripture that says the day will come where, like, you know, every dark deed is shouted from the rooftops. It seems like that's sort of happening.
Right. That's a really good point.
Show a policeman abusing somebody and stuff like that.
Right, that's a really good point. We are in the age where nothing is hidden anymore, that everything can be revealed. But the point I was making is the only people that can be trusted with this power is the people. The people, even with the people taking charge, the technology won't go away. So if the people take more charge, more control of their government, and put more checks and balances on our leaders, then this technology is out of the bag. So the people are the only ones that can be trusted to not abuse it. The common people, a man on the street, he's got pretty good common sense about what should and shouldn't be done, a lot more than our leaders seem to have. Our leaders just want more power over us so that they can have more power for themselves. It just gets in their blood after they get in leadership for a while, unfortunately. And we need to put more control on that, or else the whole world will be headed for a very controlling situation for its people. Yeah.
I go through these bouts where I get totally depressed because I think there's so much going on that we can't do anything about.
Yeah.
For instance, my nephew was one of the lead electricians on the NSA building in Utah.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. And he did all the wiring for... did a lot of the wiring for he said it's much worse than you think. He said it's much worse, and he said that it is horrible what he did. And he started posting things on Facebook, I'm working for the New World Order, I'm working for them. Yeah. And he finally, probably because he quit saying it, he finally got a different job. And since he's had the new job, every week men in black come to his house and they interrogate him every single week about who he's talking to, what he's talking about, if he's they're very afraid he's going to be another Snowden.
Did he tell you anything that was kind of unnerving?
The level of intrusion into our daily life is much worse than any of us have any idea.
The only thing we got on our side is they don't have the manpower to monitor everybody. I mean, listen in. Now, the computers can monitor and look for certain keywords. And if you know the keywords, you just don't say them.
No, or you say them.
Or everybody says them.
Yeah. Because we know... because we know we're being watched, you know, certain members of our family, because of different things we're involved in, we hear it, you know, we know we're being listened to, so we say the keywords on purpose, and then we start talking to the people listening, going, are you having fun? Do you like listening to our conversations? Don't you have anything better to do with your time? You know, is this what a patriotic American does to another American? You know, things like that. But my question to you is, given this high level of intrusion into our life, at what point do we fight back? And I mean literally fight back.
Well, eventually we'll have a gathering if it gets too bad and goes on.
But I think it is there.
Well, they don't have power. Well, the gathering would be good to do right now if we could, but we don't have power yet. So we have to keep it going until
one of the saving graces, I think, because I think about this too, is that people like Snowden or people that are really technologically inclined generally have sort of a hacker mentality. They have a mindset that there should be transparency, and you've got these groups like Anonymous, which really isn't a group, it's just people being anonymous that are technologically advanced. And Anonymous could be people in the NSA. And then you've got other groups like the Oath Keepers, you know, that are involved in, you know.
I mean, like one of my nephews, we don't even know who he works for. He says, I work for one of the alphabets.
So I think as people, as we progress towards soul contact, more people's consciences will push them towards revealing information or making groups accountable. And maybe there will be politicians that will lean that way as well. So, but whenever I start getting discouraged, I always like to think that light is infinitely more powerful than darkness, and a small amount of light can dispel a lot of darkness.
Yeah, that's true. And just a handful of people in union is worth a lot of people in disunion.
I mean, look how small Snowden is. I mean, he was just one out of thousands. My cousin works for the NSA. And, you know, he's not running off, you know, to Hong Kong and revealing stuff. But there's, you know, it takes one person to do that. And that's what's terrifying to them.
Well,
and even when I've spoken with my cousin, he says their biggest fear and concern is people revealing stuff or going rogue, you know. And so, and there's no way they can keep a lid on that. Once like Snowden, that idea gets into people's consciousness,
I think we're reaching the point that no nation is going to have many secrets. You know, we're going to know what everybody's doing.
So it's a spiritual group,
it kind of backfires on the government.
It'd be really helpful to keep Snowden and other people like that in prayers and just kind of hold light around them to protect them, because if enough people are doing that, that's going to make a difference for their safety as well.
It forces everybody to talk about it, because now everyone in the government has to deal with this situation. They have to come up with a response, and the people are, everyone's upset about it, it seems like. Mm-hmm. On both sides of the aisle, they seem pretty upset.
Well, the chemtrails are driving me nuts, too. You notice the allergies that have been, you know, minor, have just gone right through winter, summer, spring, and fall, you know.
Well, I was really disturbed on our way here. We were mapping out where the hotel is, you know? Mm-hmm. And he's like, why is your name on my phone and why is it moving? And I'm like, I have no idea. And
whose name was on your phone?
It's tracking the Google Maps. On his phone. I'm like, how is that tracking?
Wow.
And it was moving as we were moving.
So now I'm wondering if she works for the NSA.
I have no interest in life. I don't know what they want with me, but that is weird.
That's what every agent said.
Okay, you've been a good audience, and thank Joel for his participation. I mean, Jason, I'm sorry. I don't know why I keep wanting to call you Joel. And Melvin Bryan for the snacks.
Thank you.